Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back. Today's Daf is Baba Brasser Ayin Zayin. We begin right on top. Omar Meima Hilchasa, let's go back to yesterday's discussion. If one wishes to buy a Shtar Chayiv. So, Reuven lent Shimon $1 million, he has a Shtar Chayiv, and he'd like to transfer that loan, that ability to collect the loan. He'd like to sell that loan to Shimon, to Levi. Okay? How is Levi going to be kind of that Shtar Chayiv from the creditor? Amar Meima Hilchasa, the halacha is, all you need to do is transfer that loan. Just hand over the document. So the creditor, the Baal Chayiv, the original Baal Chayiv, gives it to the new owner, and that's it. By doing so, not only does it give him the paper, and does Levi now assume ownership of the actual physical parchment, rather he takes possession of the loan, represented by that parchment, by that shtar. And this is in accordance with Rebbe, who disagreed with the Chachamim. Chachamim required another element of kinyan as well. A, you transfer the shtar physically, but also you have to draft a brand new shtar to declare that you are actually selling, you are actually transferring that first shtar to the new owner. And Amemar says we paskin like Rebbe. We don't need. There's no point in having another shtar drafted that the declaring that the first shtar was sold. You don't need to do that. It's pointless. Just hand over this document, and now we have a new owner. Amali Rav Ashi la'amimar. Rav Ashi turns to Amimar. Where did you get this from? Gemara? Was this something that you heard from your Rabbeim? Or is it your initiation? Is it your thinking? Amali Gemara. So he says, actually, I got it from my teachers. Amar Rav Ashi. To which Rav Ashi responds, actually, you know what? I want to add another point here. Svara Namihu. It's plain logic. That there's no point in writing another shtar in order to sell another shtar. What's the point of writing shtar B on top of shtar A? Because the content of that first star, the oisius, the letters, it's not something tangible. It's not like a piece of real estate that you're buying, like a car, like a boat. Milininu, it's just words. Rashbam says, Dvarim hu meicher, v'lei maman mamish. It's not actual money, it's not an asset. I'm empowering you, I'm authorizing you to collect this loan. It's a legal right. It's not something tangible or physical. And therefore, what's the point of writing another document on top of the first one? Umili bimili. Words with more words. Lo miknin. Don't get acquired. Meaning, let's just read the Rashbam inside. Mili ninu. It's about 7-8 lines from the top. Dvarim hu meicher. V'lo yimamen mamish. When Reuven sells his shtar chayv to Levi, he's selling him words. He's selling him legal rights, something intangible, right? Hilchach mas v'yadayim behani masira hu ikar kinyasin. The ikar kinyan, the actual acquisition takes place through masira, by giving you the shtar. That's how it happens. Once you take physical possession of that shtar, everything that's contained, everything that's represented by the shtar, including legal, assuming legal rights over that claim, becomes yours. Aval shtar acher loy mahani. But what's the point of writing another shtar to authorize the sale of this shtar? Demila b'mili lamiknu. Shtar leikne b'shtar. One shtar cannot be kind of another. What's the point of one shtar over the... They're both on the same, they're both on equal footing. How could one shtar give you the other shtar? Right? So, you know, let's say, you know, the classic kinyan shtar. A person purchases a piece of real estate, so he writes a shtar, and he takes the shtar, and now he's kind of the karka, as we're going to see in the next Gemara. That works because they're working on different wavelengths. You're buying a piece of property, which is something tangible, so you need a formal document, a title which confirms that physical acquisition. So it makes sense. The shtar is confirming something else. But here it's one shtar confirming the other shtar. There's no point in that. And therefore the Gemara concludes that Mesira alone is sufficient in acquiring a shtar chayiv. There's no need to have another shtar written to that effect. Really? Says the Gemara. Valoi? Really? Is that true that you can't just buy something with mili? Right? Basically what we're saying is that being that the shtar in effect is just worth as much as the content, the value. The essence of a shtar is the mili, are the words within it. And therefore there's no point in writing words to be kind of more words. Because the second shtar has no more power than the first shtar, right? Rather just hand it over physically, and that's how you get possession of the content of the shtar. Really? Is that so? Umili bimili. Words with more words, loy miknin, cannot be acquired, meaning you can't have a shtar to be kind of another shtar. Valoi, really? Va'amar rabba, bar Yitzchak. Amar, he quotes Rav, Shnei Shtar is him. You know, there are two different halachis regarding writing a shtar, regarding purchasing a field. So a purchase document on a field has two interesting manifestations. Shnei Shtar is him, two types. So suppose we have Reuven selling his property, and he turns to a two Adam, and he says, you know, Zechu besada lepleini. I would like you to be kinda to acquire this field on behalf of my customer Shimon v'kisvelis ashtar. And please, when you have a chance, draft for him a document to this effect. So they went ahead and did the kinyan. And he had some regrets. He had second thoughts. He says, you know, I don't want a shtar. I want him to have perhaps the field, but I don't want a shtar. I don't want it to become known that I sold my property. It's not good for my reputation, for my business, records. So, chayzer b'shtar, he can do that. He can change his mind regarding the shtar, because until they actually draft it for him and give it to him, or zoiche for him, it's not really his. He doesn't have it yet. Okay? The shtar, that is. He can go back on that. So the sada that they were zoiche for him, okay, that's too late for that. They can't go back on the actual gift, on the actual, the sale, because as Rashbam says, the shluchim here, the middlemen, already did a kinyan. They already did a zechiyah. A person could acquire something on behalf of somebody else, even without his knowledge, without him being there, right? So the field belongs to the buyer, but the regarding the shtar, the seller can decide to cancel that part. However, let's say he said, Almanas, I would like you to make a kinyan in this field for my customer. Almanas, on condition, I'm putting it together as one. Almanas, shetichtiv lo yisashtar, on condition that you draft for him a document. I want it to be formalized and legal, right? And they haven't done that yet. So until they actually get him the shtar, there was no transaction. Choyzer bein besada, bein mishtar, bein besada. Now he has a full power to change his mind on the entire thing. Because until the shtar is issued, there was no deal. So you have two separate types of shtaris regarding a mechira. In the first case, he can cancel it. In the first case, he can cancel the shtar, but not the actual sale. In the second case, he can cancel the entire thing. Rav Chiya bar Abba and Amar Rav, he quotes Rav, Amar Rav Huna, quotes Rav Huna. There's actually a third variety of a shtar mechir. Shloisha shtarisim, which are Trei Hodamar, the two that we just spoke of. Idach, the third type is like this. Im kadam meicher, because of his hashtar. Suppose we have a potential seller who expects to do a deal, later on the day or later on the week, and he goes ahead and he approaches, the Edom, and he asks them to please help him, please prepare for me a document, a shtar meicher, and I can do that even ahead of time. Okay, so he finds a cipher who's ready to get him a shtar and have it available for when he needs it. You can do that. Im kadam meicher v'kasav es hashtar. So you prepared for a shtar ahead of time. Koisin shashaninu, as we found in the Mishnah later on. Koisin shtar lemoicher. Ava b'shein lekeach imoy. It's perfectly fine to write a shtar for a seller, even before the lekeach shows up. So that's okay. You know, if he's not worried about misplacing that shtar and finding its way into the wrong hands, then we're not. We don't have to be more, careful than he is, right? So we're allowed to do that. Koisin shtar lemoicher. Ava b'shein lekeach imoy. So the shtar is already prepared and ready to go. So what happens now? As soon as the lekeach takes possession of the karka, makes a chazak on the karka, nikna shtar b'chamokam shu. So the shtar that had been prepared ahead of time in advance of the sale now becomes his. Why? Says the Rashbam, because the das of the meicher, the seller has in mind, he intends on giving him the shtar. That's why I prepared it for you, right? So even though it's not physically here, it's not being given over to you physically, but that's called kinyan agav. It's bundled together with the property. You get the property, you get the karka that comes along with it. And it's considered as though he did a meshicha on the shtar, even though he didn't. That's the aloch of agav. Nikna shtar b'chamakam shu. Oh, v'zu sheshanin, as we learned back in Kedushin, right, Mesechus Kedushin, nechasim, she'enon achrayis. If you have items which don't have achrayis, which typically refers to unsecured items, not, you know, non-real estate items. Niknin im nechasim, she'eshlan achrayis. So, if you're going to make a kinyan on property, b'kesef, or shtar b'chazaka, the three types of kinyanim, you pay for the property, or you did, you acquired it through a document, or doing a physical chazaka, taking physical possession of the karka. By doing so, you are kind of, even other items, which had, you know, been bundled together by mutual agreement, so you get that as well. Without any need to physically go ahead and find those items, that's called kinyan agav. Oh, so what's the kasha? So the Gemara at this point figures that the only way the buyer of this piece of real estate is going to acquire the shtar, which is not even here, is because there was an agreement, there was a discussion about it. Right? There was no physical kinyan on the shtar, just mili. Words, discussions, commitments, verbal agreements. Apparently that's enough. Apparently that is enough to generate a kinyan. Right? And certainly in that earlier case where he writes a shtar, where he's selling him the other shtar, certainly that should work. Answers the Gemara, no. Here it's totally different. It's not words. There's an actual physical masa taking place on the karka. And the masa, kinyan, on the karka affects the shtar as well. It's as though, you know, it's as though he made a kinyan meshicha on the shtar itself. You know, he didn't. That's how it works, because it's bundled together. It's one package with the karka. And the kinyan, which applied to the karka, is considered as though it was applied to the item as well. Agav shani. It's very different by agav. I'll bring you a raya. That this is the way it works. It's the kinyan on the karka, which is applied to the other item as well. The hamad beya. For instance, one wishes to transfer ownership of a matbeya. You want to sell a coin. Deloy nikni b'chalipin. You can't use the swap system, a chalipin system, which typically works by any other types of metaltalin. So I can give you my donkey in exchange for the horse, etc. Right? V'agav ara nikni. When it comes to kinin agav, if you acquire a piece of land which was bundled together with this coin, you can be kind of the coin, even though you're using chalipin on the karka. It doesn't matter because the kinyan applies to the karka, and agav, it affects the entire bundle, it covers the entire bundle as well. V'agav ironik, kader apapa, we have a story regarding apapa. Habulei treisa alfei zuzim bechizoi. He had 12,000 zuzim sitting in the hands of people in the town Chuzoi. They owed him the money. And one day, Rav Shmuel Bar Acha was traveling to Chuzoi, so Rav Papa says, do me a favor, you know, can you please retrieve that money and bring it back to me? But they were concerned that the people out there were not going to give it to him freely, for concern that he might lose it on the road, and the only way they'll do it is if he takes full achrayis, he takes responsibility for that money. This way they have nothing to worry about sending it along. So what did he do? In order to avoid this confusion, he gave it to Rav Shmuel Barach. He gave him a kinyan. You're now the new owner. of that money, which is sitting in the hands of the people in Chuzoy. Right? So he had the money that he deposited there was for safekeeping in the bank in Chuzoy, and he gave it to Rashmo Baracha. Akninu ni'alei l'Rashmo Baracha. How did he give it to him? He didn't have the coins here. Agav Asifa Debesi. Asifa Debesi is the threshold of his house. So he gave him a kinyan. So Rav Shmuel gave him a little handkerchief, a little Parker pen, an iPhone, right? And by doing so, he swapped. He took the threshold, so to speak. He acquired ownership on that threshold. And agav that, he got the money sitting far away. That's how it works. The kinyan on this karka covers everything within that bundle. And it worked. And now he was the new owner of that money. And when he went out to Chuzoy, he explained to them, Rabbi Yisai, it's my money, please give it back to me. Sure, no problem. No risk involved. And they gave it to him. Kiyasa, when he returned to the Rapapa's town, he was so excited. He heard that his money was coming back. Nofak Lape, he went to greet him until the place called Tavach. Apparently it works. So that's the answer to your question. So bottom line is, when you want to be Zoyche, you want to buy a Shtar Chayv, how does one do so? The Gemara concludes, all you need is a Mesira. There's no point in making another star to sell this star. It's mili b'mili, it doesn't work. And then we went on to three different types of shtaris, which were actually pertaining to shtar mechira, and we had a kasha because it would seem that you can just be kind of the shtar mechira because of their discussion, because of their agreement, which is just mili. No, it's kinyan agav. In which case, the kinyan applied to the karka works and covers the entire bundle as well, including the shtar that comes along with it. The Mishnah speaks about a person who sold a boat, didn't specify what comes along. We assume the slaves, the crew, the martzufin, the containers, and the antiki, and the merchandise within it is not included. My antiki, what is this antiki? Our papa, the merchandise sitting on the boat is presumed to be extra, not included in the deal, unless specified otherwise. Continues the Mishnah. So now we shift from sale of a ship. And the halachas pertaining to what's connected, what's considered one entity, one package, and is included in that sale. Now we shift to other items, horse and buggies, etc., which perhaps have an element of oneness to them. We will actually see what's covered, what's considered part of the package, what isn't. Now, of course, we're speaking that nothing was stipulated, otherwise, you know, whatever was discussed, right? And whatever was discussed is included. But rather, we are speaking about stam. Machar is occurring. For instance, Reuven sold Shimon a wagon. Okay, what about the mules? Pulling the wagon. Are they included or not? Loi machar is apredes. No, they're not included. And the Gemara will explain that we are speaking that the animals are not really hitched onto the wagon. Otherwise, certainly they would be considered one and the same entity. So machar es hakoren, lo machar es hapredes. Likewise, in the reverse, machar es hapredes, if he offered him the mules, lo machar es hakoren, we presume that the wagon is a separate entity and not included. Machar es hatzemed, tzemed is a yoke, which binds together the two oxen, that pull the yoke to plow, whatever. So the tzemed is the binder. That's why it's called semed. It combines. It connects, right? So the ha'oil says the Rashbam uklei ha'golok tana va'golok atzma. Whether it's a yoke, whether it's some sort of a little wagon or whatever that connects. Okay, so lo yimachar zabakar. We assume the animals are not included. He sold them the equipment, not the animals. Same in the reverse. Machar es ha-bokar. He sold him the animals. Lo machar es ha-tzemed. We don't assume that tzemed is included. Rabbi Omer, hold it. In this instance, actually, there's another way to figure out the purpose, the intention. Rabbi Omer ha-domim moedin. Take a look at the price that was paid for this yoke. And that will help you identify what was included. Ketzat, for instance. Omer loy, Reuben approaches Shimon with an offer. Mecharlit simdecha, sell me your tzemed, and instead of offering him, $10 actual worth, he offers him 200 zuz. But masayim zuz, it's pretty clear and obvious. Hadavar yodu, everybody understands, sheinat tzemed, but masayim zuz. Nobody typically buys a tzemed for 200. Apparently, he meant to include the animals. He simply used the word semed as a point of reference. Sell me the whole package, the pair, the animals, etc. Chacham respond by saying, "Ein adam im raya." Money doesn't say much because perhaps it was just a way of giving him a gift. Okay, here, take it. Take $200 for this $10 item. He did it intentionally to give him money as a matana. Another pshat in the Gemara would be that you're right. I mean, he overpaid, grossly overpaid. He can cancel the deal. Fine, but get your refund and that's it. He can't demand the animals. Tani Rav Tachlifa Bamarob. So he presented the following halacha, the following brisa. Kamed Rabbi Avo, in front of Rabbi Avo, Mochar Sakoroin, Mochar Sapredes, which is inconsistent with the Our Mishnah. It doesn't really match Our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, you sell the Koroin, we assume the Predes are not included. According to his brisa, Mochar Sakoroin, Mochar Sapredes, they are included. But the Mishnah by us says, it's not included. So this was Rabbi Avo's response. How could you? So the Chacham who presented the Braisa asked Rabbi Avo, okay, Ismail, do you want me to delete the Braisa because apparently it's inaccurate? Says not necessarily. You can reconcile the Mishnah with the Braisa. You know how? You don't have to do that. Titarge mas niseich. Go ahead and explain your Braisa. Badukin boy. We're speaking that the animals are attached. The predes are hitched onto the wagon, in which case, it's all one package. It's all included, as opposed to our Mishnah, where it's not connected, and therefore, they are considered separate. Mochar sa tzemet, lach mochar sa bakar. Okay, so we'll move on to the next case, with the yoke and the animals. Hey chidami, why would you say they're separate? Ilay medekaru, litzimda tzimda. How do people call these items? What words do they use to describe the yoke, to describe the animals? Do they call the tzemed by the name tzimda? Ulubakar by the name bakar, meaning each one has his own distinct, term and description? Then obviously, then they're two separate entities. Tzimda zoven lei, bakar lei zoven lei. If he spoke about buying the tzemed, then tzemed is tzemed, not bakar. Of course, he told him the tzemed, not the bakar. What are we discussing this for? Ve'elo de korle nami lebakar tzimda. Oh, apparently we're speaking that in this place they typically refer to the entire package, the animals with the equipment, as tzimda. Okay, so then kulei zav anlei. So what's the? How could the chachamim disagree with Rabbi Yehuda? Obviously, in this case where the word tzemed refers to the entire package, and as Rashbam says, additionally he paid him all that money. It's pretty obvious that he meant to buy the entire package. Leitzricha must be speaking that it's some and some. Ba'asra, we're in a location, in a place, that, the karalei litzim, the tzimda lebakar bakar, some people are, precise in the way they describe things. The tzemed they call tzemed, and the bakar they call bakar. No mixing and magic. Yikonami, there are some people in that place that, mix things up. The karalei lebakar tzimda, they use the tzemed term as a general broad expression, and it references the animals as well. So it can go either way. We're not sure what he meant. And that's how we get to Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. Rabbi Yehuda Savar, Hadam Emaydin. Okay, we can't figure this out. Take a look at the price. What did he pay for it? He paid a high price. Apparently, he meant to include the animals as well. Rabbanan Savar, Ein Adam Emaydin. No. The buyer has to prove his case. It's like Hamoitzi Mechaver of Araya. You want to keep the animals? You have to substantiate your claim. You have to prove without a shadow of a doubt that, in fact, this is what the buyer and seller had in mind. Ain't adam right? You can't bring anything from the any proof from the price. Ask the Gemara, okay, fine. The ain't adam right. Although you're not going to use the price, the money paid, as a raya to indicate anything, but ultimately he overpaid. I mean, we have a bitul mekach. He can just cancel the deal. And right, this is discussed back in the Perek HaZohav and Bava Metzia, that if a person overpays by a sixth, then the deal stands, but he gets back that extra money. If he overpaid by more than a sixth, it cancels the whole deal of bitul mekach. So here, he grossly overpaid. Perhaps we'll say that the Rabbanim disagree with that whole idea. They say, of course, you're not allowed to cheat, you're not allowed to overcharge, but who says the seller has to return that money? And the way the Rashbam learns, the Gemara means to ask, perhaps the Rabbanon will hold that whether he paid overpaid by a sixth, or even more than that, it's only, you know, a person, a seller who wants to be a man of integrity, wants to be roitzel lotzeis yidei shamayim, he wants to, you know, conform to the heavenly, you know, his spiritual obligations, yotzei yidei shamayim, okay? So he has to refund him, etc. But otherwise, we can't force him to do it in the Bezdin. So that's perhaps Rabbanon's opinion. Therefore, they can't undo the deal. Really? Is it true that they don't hold of this idea of a loy? Really? But tonight, we have a Mishnah back in Bava Metzia. We have an interesting machlekes there. If one sells something of high value, something really exquisite, a sefer Torah, a behemo, which is something that people might, you know, take a liking to and really pay a lot for a good, productive animal. Umar Golis, a diamond, right? A pearl. Ein lo neino, there's no halacha neino because, sometimes a person would be willing to overpay for these specialty items. Amar lo, the Chacham responded, no. Lo yamra les elu, the halacha, mentioned in the Mishnah there that there are some things that don't have a neino, like a person buys a slave, he buys a shtar, he buys a real estate. There are special halachas there based on psukim. There's no halachas, so I know you don't have to return the extra money. But when it comes to sefer Torah, Beim Magolis, they disagree with Rabbi Yehuda's idea. You have to refund them the extra. So clearly, Rabbanan do hold that hilchos no require undoing, refunding, right? So back to our Mishnah. This fellow grossly overpaid. He paid through the roof for this tzemed. How can we just, you know, let it stand? Says the Gemara, you're right. My ain damim raya nami detani. True. When the Rabbanan said ain hadamim raya, they didn't mean to say that the seller keeps the money. Davavitomekach. You're right. He can just cancel a deal. They didn't mean that he keeps the money. Of course, he's entitled to his money back. He overpaid, grossly overpaid. All they meant to say was, look, you can use the damim, the amount of money that was paid, the price that was paid, as any raya to substantiate his claim. But of course, he's entitled to get his money back, because ultimately he just gets the tzemed, which is worth way less. Anyway, same another pshat, perhaps, in the Mishnah. When did the Rabbanon say that when you overpaid a six to get that extra back, when you overpaid by more, it's bitul mekach? That's only, you know, if you overpaid by an amount which one can speculate that perhaps it was a mistake, he was cheated, right? So he didn't mean to pay it, and therefore he is entitled to get it back. But if a person takes a tzemed, which is a $10 item, and he pays for it $200, it's pretty clear cut. It's obvious that he knows he's overpaying. So in this case, loy, he has no claim. He has no right to demand that money back. You know why? You gave it willingly, knowingly. Amor, we could just speculate the matona yoivle. Since we presume he understood what he was doing, he was trying to give him a gift, moyes chitin for Pesach. And therefore, he has no right to demand that money back. Okay, so bottom line, the Mishnah says you sell a koroin, the predas are not included, vice versa as well. You sell a tzemed, the buck are not included, and vice versa. Now, the Gemara tells us that the koroin and the predas are considered disconnected when they're disconnected, but when they're hitched together, we view them as one package and one sale. Regarding the tzemed and the buckar, well, the Gemara concludes that we're speaking in a place where, you know, it's so. Some people actually refer to the entire package as tzemed, and therefore, Rabbi Yehuda maintains that the damim, the price, will indicate what was included. Chacham says no raya, and according to one pshat, he's entitled to his money back. According to the second pshat, no, we assume it was a matan. Now, regarding the previous piece, we had a conclusion regarding selling a shtar. Halach is all you need to do is be meiser. You don't need a shtar on top of that. And regarding, you know, selling a shtar through agav, well, that's a totally different story. The kinyan on the karka works the shtar, just like the kinyan chalipin on the threshold was applied to the money as well. All the best to you and atzlacha rabba.